In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, I tell you many times, do I not, that when you read the Scripture, you must apply it to yourself. Now, what better piece of Scripture to apply to ourselves in this parable about the sower and the seed? Both in a negative and a positive way, we should look at this parable. The things we should do, the things we should not do. Now the Lord spoke of the good ground as that which bore fruit. Nothing else bore fruit. Different kinds of ground don't bear fruit. Some don't accept seed at all. When the sower went to sow a seed, some fell by the wayside. This wayside is trampled down ground, hard. Seed can't penetrate into it, so that eventually it's eaten by the birds of the air, or is the rain pushes it off into the ditch. It's useless ground, useless for growing things. And then there is that seed which is in shallow ground, rocky ground. It springs up, but because there's no depth of soil, it dries out when difficult times arrive. And we all know in life there are difficult times. So that seed withers away because it doesn't need no depth of root. Then there is a ground that is thorny. The seed grows in thorny ground, but the thorns grow with it. And the thorns grow faster and they choke it so that it doesn't bear fruit. It might grow, but it just spends all its time just barely surviving. Then the Lord speaks of good ground. And that good ground is where the seed can flourish and grow and bear fruit a hundredfold. Now, what kind of ground are you? When you read this parable, you should see. You should look into it. Say, what am I? I think a Christian should look at these types of ground and say, not all of me is good ground. Not very much at all. Aren't we sometimes insensible to God? We don't pay attention at all. Now, the bad, the ground that is by the wayside could be said to apply to those who don't believe in God at all, don't care. We all know people like that. They don't believe in God, or if they say they believe in God, it's certainly not at all important in their life. So they're that ground that is trampled down. The word never penetrates into their heart. But I've told you, read the Scripture to apply it to yourself. Let's not worry about the people that are not out, that are not Christians, that don't believe in God. God's not going to ask us any questions about them in the judgment. He's going to ask us about ourselves, if we have become like Him. So, is there anything in us that is this trampled ground? You have to investigate for yourself. If I look with honesty in myself, I think things sometimes are trampled down. Sometimes not hearing the Word of God. Now, shallow ground, this rocky ground. I should hope that when you look inside yourself, you can see some of this. When things are difficult, when you are tired, are you lazy? When someone hurts you, do you strike back? That means you're shallow ground. That means your faith is withering away. Because after all, what are we to do? To turn the other cheek? To love those who don't love us? To love our enemies and do good to them? To live as our Lord lived? Learning the virtues, following the commandments? It's real easy to follow the commandments when things are going good. It's real easy to be kind to people that are kind to you. To love people that love you. It's difficult to follow the commandments when things are hard. It's difficult to love those that don't love you. It's difficult to do good to those who don't do good to you. Now, if you find yourself that if someone insults you, take this test. Just keep it in your mind. The next time someone insults you, what is your first response? Is your first response a flash of anger? Ah, there's your rocky ground for you. There's your shallowness of faith. Christian shouldn't be angry when he's insulted. When cursed, we should bless. So if you find yourself reacting just like anybody in the world when something inequitable happens to you, when someone harms you, when someone lies to you, usually it's interpersonal things, isn't it? These are the things that get us the most angry, right? Because how dare people mess with us? Because we consider ourselves so important. So when things happen to you, how do you react? If you react just as the world does, then you have some rocky ground that is shallow because your faith is shallow. Now, certainly, when you look in your life, can you not find some thorns? If you cannot, then truly you are to be pitied. We must be able to see that, at least see and recognize that many times we have false priorities and do things that are not in keeping with the commandments. We rush about in our daily lives. We're interested in comforts or in entertainments or in the next job promotion or whatever else it is. And our faith suffers. Our prayer suffers. Our striving to become holy is forgotten in the rush of life's activities. So if you look inside your life, I think you should be able to see that there indeed is some thorny ground, some thorns that are choking out fruit. Now, the Lord speaks of good ground as being that which brings forth fruit. The good news is that thorny ground can become good ground. The good news is that shallow ground, rocky ground, can be cleared of rocks and can be amended with fertilizers and can become good ground. The good news is that even ground by the wayside can be turned and tilled and fertilized and cared for and become good ground. All ground can be transformed into good ground. This ground that the Lord is speaking of is your soul. The Word of God is sown into the soul. No place else. Some souls are good ground and some are various forms of bad ground. And in a Christian, if we're honest about ourselves, various portions of our souls are various kinds of ground. But the Lord told us to follow all the commandments. The Lord gave us grace to become perfected. And He told us to become perfect. He's not interested in us having a portion of good ground. He wants us to transform our entire soul into good ground. Now, what is good ground? Well, when a farmer plants, what kind of ground does he choose? Deep ground, well fertilized, not full of rocks, easily turned so he could sift it through his fingers. How does he get such good ground? By toil, by effort. Do you have rocks in your soul? Then you must remove them. Are there things in your soul which are insensible to God? Then you must till that ground so that it becomes arable and able to grow things. Are there weeds choking out your fruit? Then you must make a struggle to remove those things from your life. Change your priorities. Have a different way of looking at things. The whole purpose of your life is the salvation of your soul. I think you know that. But how well do you apply it to your daily life? What is the most important thing you do when you get up in the morning? It's not that you go to work or to school, or take care of household duties, or chores, or go on vacation, or any such thing. Every day, while you breathe, while the Lord yet gives you life, is a day that the Lord wants you to strive for perfection and for holiness. Why? Because if you don't strive for perfection and holiness, how can you know the Lord? The Lord is perfect and holy. The Lord wants us to become perfect and holy. And we can. That's the great news of the gospel. We can become holy. But only if we have effort. Now, I told you, you can transform any kind of ground into good ground. Well, it works the other way as well. Good ground, if it's not tended with prayer, with fasting, with struggle to follow the commandments, with a constant reappraisal of our priorities, our ways of thinking, our way of life. Good ground will have weeds that spring up in it, and left unchecked, they will choke the ground. And later on, that same ground can be trampled down underfoot. How are you to keep your good ground? By struggle. The whole point of the Christian life is to become good. That's why the Lord says, "They which have an honest and good heart, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience." He's giving you a blueprint for how to save your soul. You must be honest. Honest with yourself, honest with God. You must become good. Or should I say, struggle to become good. The Lord helps us. The Lord gives us the victory over our passions, over our sins. But He does not give us the effort. We must supply this effort to become good. And what we hear, we must do. We hear the Word of God, we must keep it with patience. Because it is a long struggle. It's not an instantaneous action to save our souls. It's a long struggle. Now the apostle says in the epistle today, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I live now in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I submit to you that if you want to be good ground, and if you call yourself a Christian, then you should be wanting to be all good ground for the Lord. I submit to you that if you want to be good ground, that you will consider yourself, your sins, your lusts, your false way of life, your false priorities, anything that's outside of the gospel, to be crucified, to be put to death, and that you have a new life. And that this life is so that you can become good. And by becoming good, you can know He who is good. It's the whole point of our life. That's why we strive to become good. Now, one can apply this parable to different kinds of people outside of the church. But like I said to you, the Lord won't ask you anything about those people in the judgment. Not a thing. He instead will look inside your heart. And He will see whether or not He recognizes Himself as looking in a mirror. He's given you everything necessary to save your soul. He's sown the Word of God in your heart. Now it remains for you to till this ground, to water this ground with your struggles, your tears, to fertilize it, to take care of it, to get rid of weeds, to do all things necessary so that this fruit may grow to completion and perfection. May God help you to make all of your soul good ground. Amen.